First reading on the second Sunday in Advent is from Malachi chapter 3. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord, as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come to put you on trial. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, and deprive the foreigners among you of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I am the Lord. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. This is the word of the Lord. Second reading is from Philippians chapter 1. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. And all people will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Once more, I greet you in the merciful name of Jesus Christ this morning. There was a boy who was rushing out the door of his house one morning to go to school. He had to catch the school bus because it arrived at 8:15 sharp, and he had to be on it so he wouldn't be left behind. Well, as he opened the door, he saw that it was like this morning. It had rained the night before. And there in front of the door was his younger brother sitting in a mud puddle just playing away. He was just splashing the mud all over the place and smearing it on his face and just having a good old time. Well, the older brother had some place that he wanted to go, some place that was more important. So he decided he was going to jump over his younger brother so he could keep going. Well, when he jumped, his foot slipped and he fell right into the mud puddle alongside his brother. Well, not wanting to stop and play with his brother in the mud, he decided that he wanted to go on to catch the bus. And so he cleaned off as best he could, and he ran and caught the bus and went to school, because he knew that when he went to school, there would be facilities there where he would be able to clean up and clean all the mud off of his clothes. Now, this little story illustrates that there's two types of people in this world. One that are playing in the mud of sin, and they're quite content to stay there, at least for the time being. They don't seem to want to go anywhere. And the second type is the people who may have been in the mud, but they want to get out. They have seen that there is a better place that they could be, and a better person that they could be with. Some place that's more important than being in the mud puddle of sin. A place where they can come clean and be freed from the mud of the sin in their lives. And that place is with our Savior Jesus, because His blood washes away all of the mud sin in our lives and makes us clean again. And the way we can get there is to hear the Word of God through Holy Scripture and realize that we are in the mud and turn away from that mud and run in the opposite direction toward Jesus. This turning process is called repentance. And that's the basis of our lessons this morning. In our gospel lesson, we see John the Baptist. John the Baptist is beginning his mission to call everyone's attention to the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. The coming of Jesus heralds the coming of the true release from that mud pit, the mud pit of sin. Jesus is our cleaner. Jesus is our releaser. All of us at some point in time are like that younger brother sitting in that mud pit of sin, not knowing about Jesus. It's when we realize that we're drowning in that mud, in that sin, that we look for some way to get out. And it's only through Holy Scripture do we find Jesus, the one who will take us out of that mud. Now, our gospel lesson today from Luke chapter 3, the words of it are, "The words of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." You see, God knew that it was just the right time for Jesus to begin his ministry here on this earth. And John was called to prepare the way, prepare the people, prepare the hearts for the coming of Jesus, so that they would see that there was a better way and a better place to be, and they would see that Jesus was the one to take them out of that sin that they had been in. It had been probably over 400 years since there had been a prophet assigned by God, called by God, to exhort the people to turn from their sinful ways. In other words, get out of the mud. The waywardness of the Jewish leaders at that time and the worldly influences of the Roman Empire were causing the people to sink deeper and deeper into sin. And so God knew that this was the right time for the cleaner to come. John was called to shine a light on Jesus by preaching repentance, preaching that it was a time to come clean. Our lesson says, John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." That's silver-tongued. He really knew how to speak, didn't he? You see, many in Israel thought that since they were born Israelites, that is, children of Abraham, that, you know, he was the patriarch of Israel, somehow they were going to be automatically saved. But John didn't mince words. The fact that they were Jewish was not the determining factor in their salvation. After all, God could raise up Jewish children out of the stones. John knew that the determining factor was their relationship with God, specifically with Jesus. He knew that some just wanted to be baptized because it was popular, because it was fashionable. They really had not turned to God for their salvation. They just wanted to continue living in their sin-filled lives, playing in their mud pit. But John was not there to placate those people. And he wasn't just talking to the Israelites. He was talking to all people, Gentiles, Israelites, and everybody. The message was for all of mankind, including us today. As the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Galatians sometime after this, he said, "Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham." That means Jewishness is no guarantee for salvation, nor is non-Jewishness a barrier to salvation. All of us are included, even though we're not Jewish. Paul continued in his letter to the Galatians. He said, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You see, the promise of salvation is for all of us. Now, I want you to notice something that John said here. He said, "Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." And then later on, he said, "And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." What is this repentance fruit that John is talking about here? Let's discuss it a minute. We know that the word repent means to turn, you know, but it's more than that. Repent means to turn away from our sin and turn toward Jesus as our Savior. Both turns have to be made for true repentance. John knew that the people had to stop their evil ways and turn from those ways. Yes. But they also had to turn toward Jesus because he was the Messiah that they had been waiting for many, many, many years. Jesus was coming, and they had to be ready Their hearts had to be ready. And he knew that many of them just wanted to be insulated from the coming wrath, as he called it, eternal punishment. But they weren't willing to accept Jesus as their Savior, who would deliver them from the bondage of sin and deliver them into eternal life. He called them a brood of vipers. They needed to be focused on Jesus as the Messiah. The Messiah that was coming, that had been predicted. In fact, that Messiah was right there as he was speaking. Now, in our first lesson today, we see the last prophet, Malachi, who had been chosen by God to bring the message of how far the Jewish people had gone away from God at that point in time. You know, this took place around 430 B.C., 430 years before Jesus was born. It was after the Jews came back to Jerusalem after exile. You know, if you read the history of the Israelites and all they had gone through and the many times they had gone away from God and the many times they'd come back to God, you would think that they would get it, you know? I mean, you would think that after experiencing all the blessings from remaining close to God and then all the punishments for being away from Him, you would think that they would want to remain close to Him forever, right? Not true. Because at this point in time, they had taken up worshiping false idols. They had taken up breaking God's law. They even were contemptuous toward Him. And God pointed out through Malachi that they were under the curse of punishment unless they returned back to Him. And He was all willing to accept them back again and again and again, because that's the thing about God. He always is willing to take someone back, no matter how far away you've gone from Him, no matter how long you've been away from Him, and no matter how grievous your sin has been while you were away from Him. Our God is a great God, don't you think? He'll always be ready to take you back if you're open to Him leading you back. You know, as He said, "Return to Me, and I will return to you," says the Lord Almighty. Like the father in the parable of the prodigal son, He's there with open arms waiting for you to come back to Him. Because it's not Him that leaves us, it's us that leaves Him. But in fact, this time He didn't wait for us to return. He sent His help. Jesus. He sent His Son. The writings of Malachi are the last book in what we call our Old Testament part of our Bible. Malachi is sort of the bridge that separates the Old Testament from the New Testament. It's the bridge about the coming of the Messiah and then the arrival of the Messiah. And the Messiah had now come in John's time. And that's why John was there baptizing for the forgiveness of sins and having people turn to Jesus and look to Him for their salvation. So what does this repentance fruit look like? I know I've probably told this before, but I grew up as a Lutheran in a predominantly Roman Catholic neighborhood. And all the kids that I went to school with, at least the ones that were Catholic, you know, if they did something bad, something sinful, they would say, "Oh, it's okay. All I have to do is go to confession and it would be forgiven." But then they turn right around and do the same thing the week after that. You know, it just never made sense to me, because that wasn't repentance. They were sorry that they had done something bad, but they went right back and did that same sinful thing again. That is not repentance fruit. Repentance fruit shows a change in the person. Repentance fruit is not just sorrow for having committed whatever acts of sin were committed, but it includes a willingness, a wanting to change, to not do that sin again. You know, we Lutherans should understand repentance. And it's not just grief over what sin we've committed. It is an act of reformation, reforming the person. True repentance fruit means taking responsibility. And, you know, in some cases it even means making restitution, if that's applicable. You know, a thief can't repent and keep all of his stolen goods. A liar can't repent and not try to undo the lies that he told. An adulterer can't repent and then continue living with the non-spouse. Repentance fruit that people can see is a change in that person to do what God wants them to do. Now, in our gospel lesson today, John gave some other practical ways that people can produce repentance fruit. Evidently, John's fire and brimstone preaching kind of got to the people that he was talking to that day. "What should we do then?" said the crowd. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "What should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money. Don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." Basically, John told them what Jesus would tell them later on: love your neighbor. Share with those that are less fortunate than we are. I mean, this time of the year, we have plenty of opportunities to share our bounty with other people, right? I mean, we have the sharing tree that I mentioned before. We have the, you know, the red kettles of the Salvation Army. We have, Catholic Charities. We have all these things that we can help other people who need our help, just like John said. Number two, don't cheat anybody. This time of the year, like I said, we have a lot of opportunities to give to charities, but we also have a lot of people that want to scam us for our money. So we have to be careful of that. And this is the time of the year when a lot of thefts go up, you know, porch pirates and things like that. And so we can produce repentance fruit by dealing with people honestly and fairly. It all goes back to loving one another, doesn't it? Don't take unfair advantage of someone because of our positions. You know, people with higher positions might try to extort something out of someone else. We're called not to do that type of thing. Once more, loving one another. Don't lie about people to either get revenge or gain advantage. Go about your work cheerfully. And don't cause problems by grumbling. These are basic things that John told the crowd that day. Basic stuff. How we deal with each other reflects how we honor God and whether or not we truly have repented. And the only way that we can truly change our hearts to produce repentance fruit is through the intervention of Jesus by giving us His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts. The Holy Spirit softens our hearts, prepares our hearts, makes our hearts ready to receive Jesus. And we pray on our knees for Jesus to send that Holy Spirit to soften our hearts and to work within us so that we can produce true repentance fruit. You know, in a few weeks, we're going to celebrate the birth of our Savior. That birth was the first step in God's plan to save mankind. And we're going to hear about the other steps as the year goes on. But we talked about Isaiah in the lessons today. Isaiah also said in chapter 62, his prediction of the coming of Jesus. He said, "See, your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord." Folks, we are the holy people. We are the redeemed of the Lord. We are the ones who produce repentance fruit. And so I urge you to remember, not just during Christmas time, but all year long, that the way you pick repentance fruit is on your knees in front of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen.